Now, Yetna Bersnagusi was 5 when she lost her sight. Now, it was a big shock for her family, but even more so for members of the local community in rural Ethiopia, many of whom believed that a curse had caused her loss of sight. And that was just the beginning of the story. Yetna Bersnagusi joins me now. Hello there.
Hello, Simon.
Nice to speak with you.
The same here.
Now, you're a busy lady, and we will get to that later on the world stage. But if I can I take you back to the early days? And looking at your story, losing your sight was such a game changer for you.
Definitely. Yeah, as you said, I lost my eyesight when I was 5. And that really transformed my life into a different, completely different direction. Being the firstborn in the family, my mom got married when she was 11 and gave birth to me when she was 14. So she was a victim of early marriage, and early marriage is a widely exercised practice in that community. So whenever a girl is born in that family, all the expectation is the amount of dowry she will bring and the quality of son-in-law that she would bring into the family to help in farming. So when I lost my eyesight at the age of 5, people said, okay, then this is the end to her life, you know. And so many people told my mom it was better if she died. And my mom said, it's okay, I can take care of her until I am alive. Then God will take care of her. But 3 years after the loss of my eyesight, I was taken to the capital, Addis. Because for 3 years, I couldn't get any medical treatment. So nobody knew what to do with me. It was only mainly like traditional herbs and smokes and holy water treatment that they were giving me. And then after 3 years, when I went to the hospital, they said, no, we cannot restore her sight, but we can help you one thing. And they said, we can send her to a special school. So for that reason, I became the first girl in the community where I was able to get the chance to be educated, because all the other girls in that community were candidates for early marriage. So that's why I say this transformed my life. And I sometimes say that blindness is the lottery I won in life to be who I am today.
It's quite a statement, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Like, you know, this kind of turn of events in your life, you know, when people think that this is going to be the last of your life, then you use it at the first chapter of your life. So it's amazing. And yeah, it's really a blessing, I would call it, for me.
How did that affect your relationship with your family then at that time?
Yeah, you know, that's a very interesting question. Because that time, I had a role when I was 3 years old. I already started looking after like the sheep and the gods, like the cattle in the family. So when I turned blind, I was left at home. So I had no role to play, like the girls in my age helped cleaning the house, collecting firewood, fetching water from very far with a jar. So all this couldn't be realized because I was just considered useless. So everything I received was like they're doing it for the sake of going to heaven. Later on, when I went to the special school, that bond also became very, very loose because students then were not allowed to go into mainstream schools in their community. So I had to go 900 kilometers away from my community. So I only visit my family like 2 months in the year. So I kind of grew up like the child of the missionaries. So to be honest, my bond with the family was very, very loose.
And did you feel isolated when you were away from home and at school? Because it must have been a massive change for you.
You know, it was fine to play with the kids because we were like around 120, all of us blind from different parts of the world. Initially, it was very tough because, I mean, you know, it's like a human being thrown into a lion's cage, you know, because you know nobody and you don't speak the same language. You've never been with them. That was tough. But I enjoyed playing, you know, and we had no stereotyping and we had no stigma. We had no discrimination. So it gradually became like we established our own bigger family where you have different diversities. But the moment I felt very much isolated was when I came back to the regular school because the special schools could not continue after grade 6. So when I came to the regular school back in Addis in the capital at grade 7, we had 76 students in the classroom. But I had no friends because none of them had seen a blind girl in the classroom. So, you know, all of them were really intimate, but I was the only one. I had no one to play with. I had no one to go to toilet with. So that's the high isolation moment I felt. And that's where I really felt about the impact of exclusion and growing alone, being isolated from the mainstream society.
So did you realize at that age, that early age, that if you were going to do anything, you would have to make it happen, really?
Yes, because I was always told that I am the person to make it happen. And one of the things, as I told you, the special school I went to was run by the Catholic sisters, Catholic nuns, who were British and Irish Catholic nuns. And, you know, like, it really helped me to see the women role models think that, yes, being a woman is not a problem. Like, okay, if you're a woman, you have to do it. You have to be a leader. That was the kind of message I was getting. And every time reading about Helen Keller and, you know, just always being told to do things, winning in the sports, doing a number of artic crafts, I was always told that I'm the achiever and I can do it. So, I was able that I can make it happen. But I was challenged, as I told you, when I just joined the mainstream, where I was told everything was difficult and everything was impossible for me. That was another challenging moment. So I had to use a lot of leverage and courage from the early days to get back myself into the mood that I can say, I can do it.
You seem, looking back at your childhood, it seems like a very male-dominated society. And the society that you moved into there, you having to learn to be assertive, which is going against all the things that you're brought up with, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I was surprised because, as I told you, I grew up seeing Catholic women, nuns, okay, and in the leadership position. So when I came to the regular school and seeing a man principal and all the responsibilities falling under the responsibility of men, I was like, oh my gosh, can men be leaders also? So my upbringing was completely different and opposite from what the community is into. So it took me a while to understand that, okay, then, yeah, you're right, men can be leaders. So that's the impact of, you know, not growing in a society. Like, you pick up, you think that the special environment you're in is the kind of the norm, but that's not true. So, you know, it took me a while to accept that men can be leaders. It took me a while to understand that it's like disability has its own limitation and things like that, because I have grown up in a barrier-free environment where it's made for blind people. So I didn't know, like, we used to do athletics. So I didn't know even walking in the street is a problem as a blind person until I joined the mainstream society.
It then became an issue. Not an issue as such, but you took it as normal life. They took it as something unusual.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a process. Like, they consider me as special. And they tell me things, but I think I took it as a challenge in life that I am there to solve it.
Did you get some good friendships going then back at school?
You know what? Once I finished my first semester exam, I happened to be the best scoring student in the classroom. So then that really helped out, and I had a lot of friends. So everybody started fighting because they really needed my support in their academics life. So they saw the mineral in me, so everybody was fighting. So I had a long friendship list, and I became very active in the school. I took up even responsibilities of becoming a president of the student council. I joined a number of clubs. Then I became the most popular student in the high school.
And did you learn Braille, or what did you learn then to make things accessible and learn literacy and things?
I grew up learning Braille, actually.
Mm.
But I was supposed to write my own books in Braille because there were no Braille books. And I also relied on audio recorded notes in the classroom. But mostly I relied on my friends reading out books for me and exercise books. Yeah, that was not a very easy road, but I'm happy I made it.
So what in life in your early age made you think that you wanted to make a difference in the world?
I would say challenge and myths that people has about me had made me think that it's me who can change these myths.
And in part two of the interview, we will find out just what changes Jetna Wersch has helped to make and will continue to make.